So, hey everybody, this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Front Lines, your national movement building show. We're really excited to have this show. I always have to remember that I always leave the show feeling great. And I'm trying to think of why do I always feel so great? It's because of our, not just our guests, but our friends with whom we talk, people on the front lines doing work. It's such a pleasure. And I want to say, listening to Rachel Maddow last night and listening to the Democratic pundits trying to spin just a horrible story. And even, Stephen, are you on the line, by the way? Stephen Gutwig with us yet?
Oh, yes, I am.
Hi,
yes,
Stephen. Well, listening last night to Rachel Maddow and the facile way that she was joking about how America loves pot and how this is going to help the Democrats because people are, you know, want to get high and they also like voting rights. I mean, they also like minimum wage. And then we just heard Philip Agnew from the Dream Defenders saying that the way that the medical marijuana was put on the ballot in Florida did nothing to address the issue of criminal justice, did nothing to reach out to Black and Latino communities. In fact, as you know from these Democratic strategists, worked to sever any relationship between the passage of medical marijuana or marijuana legalization with civil rights, human rights. I know that that's the exact opposite of what the Drug Policy Alliance has done, which is you're trying to figure out how to get people to understand the war, if I can say, against the drug war. And I think that's been one of the great pieces of work you've done. So in that context, why don't you tell us how you're understanding both the national votes on the different drug issues, how they're being played, and maybe on a state-by-state, if you know it, some of the significance, betters and worse. And this is, by the way, I'm sorry, Stephen Gutwig, who is one of the national directors of the Drug Policy Alliance. He's worked with the Labor Community Strategy Center. He's worked with Outfest. And great to have you on the show.
It's great to be back with you, Eric. And, you know, as you say, you know, many of us don't naturally think of ending marijuana prohibition, right, as being a civil rights, racial justice, social justice movement. But for a lot of us who work on those issues, they are intrinsically related, and that's, you know, because what we're mostly talking about here is not about your opinion about marijuana, but your opinion about police practices and mass incarceration. For decades now, there has been a profound focus on the selective enforcement of marijuana laws as a way to criminalize young men of color alongside a whole bunch of other racist police practices that your listeners know about. But the extent to which marijuana enforcement has become this kind of gateway into getting a criminal record and in the gateway into the criminal justice system has been widely unreported. And the extraordinary disparities in the enforcement of these laws. There's a legalization initiative on the ballot in the District of Columbia today, which many folks don't know has the highest per capita marijuana arrest rates in the country, where 91% of all people arrested for marijuana possession are Black. You know, even though,
wow,
you know, and these are overwhelmingly, you know, young Black men. And, you know, this is, in a world where we've known forever that people consume marijuana pretty much at equal rates across lines of race and ethnicity, with one of the exceptions actually being that, you know, young Black men consume marijuana at lower rates than their white counterparts. And so the District of Columbia actually decriminalized with a bill that my organization, the Drug Policy Alliance, passed this year through the D.C. Council. It's the farthest-reaching decriminalization law on marijuana in the country, and yet 77% of all the tickets, because they lowered it from an arrestable offense
right.
to an infraction with
That's
a ticket, right. but still 77% of all tickets have been issued in communities of color, and this is, you know, like what we've seen in urban centers across the country, that it is very difficult to unring the bell on police practices and on selective enforcement of the laws. And the theme of the legalization initiative in Washington, D.C. has been legalization ends discrimination. And it is the first of what we imagine will be a number of campaigns across the country that place the, you know, themes of racial justice at the center when we're talking about all, you know, all the reasons that marijuana prohibition has been costly failure and a, you know, disaster for the country. But there's a, you know, a real opportunity not just to talk about police practices, but what kind of, you know, who's going to benefit from the emerging legal marijuana industry, and that's a whole, you know, time, a whole other conversation. But also in the district, they're drafting a bill that'll go through the D.C. Council to regulate marijuana for adults that is going to reflect these same themes.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, and I do want to go to some of the state races, is that I don't know how many years ago it was, Stephen, when Leanne and I went to a benefit that you organized for Drug Policy Alliance. I'm not allowed to advocate to give money to causes, but I can say we did. At the time, I remember hearing the overall presentation in which the drug war and the whole issue of legalization, and then it was sort of treated like, and an important aspect of that is racial discrimination. And I think the view has radically expanded to see racial discrimination, police enforcement as much more central to even the discourse about how DPA is putting it out. Is that fair?
I think that's right. And I think that Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, you know, has played a significant role in that. It's a, you know, a book that came out 3 years ago and was on the, you know, New York Times bestseller list and paperback for over a year. And it's had a profound impact on the field, on the movement, on criminal justice reformers, on drug policy reformers, to think in terms of mass incarceration as the new Jim Crow, and to understand that possessing small amounts of any drug for personal use has become the way in which sort of police practices are focusing overwhelmingly on low-income people and communities of color, and that race is the single largest determinant of who gets criminalized for doing what a whole lot of people do. And when it comes to marijuana, this is particularly out of control. Half of all drug arrests in the country are for marijuana, overwhelmingly for possessing small amounts for personal use. That is, marijuana possession is the engine driving the wider drug war, and we got to basically take that tool away from the system simply because of the extraordinary numbers. No matter what you think about marijuana, it's a mainstream recreational drug, and we have to figure out a better way to control it. But mostly we got to take this tool away from the prison industrial complex.
Well, one thing I was thinking about is that in terms of the mass incarceration is that one of the still weaknesses of each of us in these specific campaigns, which is why Michelle Alexander's book is so important, is because if the system wants to lock up black folks, it's going to lock up black folks. And as fast as we take away one thing, they're going to come up with another thing. So we are, of course, just as you working on it, we've been trying to get rid of truancy tickets, which we have. We've been trying to get away from willful defiance, which we have. Now we just were discussing without, you know, some of the MTA sheriffs about today, about why he's locking up people on the trains for so-called fare evasion, which simply means they did not pay their fare. And why are you collecting fares with armed sheriffs? And, of course, issuing tickets. And Manuel Keogh was talking about debtors' prisons, you know, about the role of tickets, infractions. So even when people say they're going to decriminalize it, when we were talking to people from Ferguson, I feel like I'm like consciously expanding my mind about how many elements that so many people in Ferguson have these, I don't know what they're even called, but different forms of tickets that are taking 20-30% of their income and giving it back to the government. So I think we have to talk not just about decriminalization, but, you know, complete getting rid of any fines. You understand what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. We have to completely take away, the tools that exist as gateways, that create a, sort of never-ending spiral into systems of creating criminalization and of making poverty worse and worse for people who are in constant contact with law enforcement in these in over-policed communities, a point to make before we talk about what else is on the ballot is that one of the roles of Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, was to help address the ambivalence that exists, you know, among many of us, you know, on the left and in many communities of color about drugs themselves. One of the things that makes drug policy reform so complicated is how much many of us experience harms related to drug use and addiction and a kind of of course most folks think that drugs should be dealt with as a health issue, but what it looks like to unring the bell on prohibition and replace those punitive responses with something else. It's just it's unfamiliar to most people. And so ending marijuana prohibition is one of the only reforms that most people are familiar with, and the work that we're doing now is to set the stage for a conversation about ending the criminalization of all drug use, which is
the
next major reform that we all have to start talking about, that we have to stop arresting people for possessing small amounts of any drug, regardless of how much trouble they may be in with the drug. We have to obviously expand access to drug treatment, but of course the truth is that the overwhelming majority of people who consume any drug don't have a problem with it, no matter what we may have experienced in our own lives. The data is very clear about that, but that any kind of experience of the criminal justice system is going to make any problems that people have far worse.
Stephen, I'm going to ask you to hold and stay with us for a minute, because I want you to talk about Prop 47. But in terms of this being Old Home Week and bringing all my friends on, Andy Terranova, who's been just a terrific organizer with the Labor Community Strategies and the Bus Riders Union, but even more importantly, just one of the most absolutely dedicated teachers, is on the line, and he wants to make the case for an elected candidate that he thinks is important. I want to be very clear, seriously, that this show does not advocate for candidates, but you as listeners are free to call in, and I want to get Andy, then I want to get Stephen to have one more point, and then I do want to go to the phones, 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735, in which each of you can have 1 minute. You can argue for a candidate, for a proposition. So I want to get Andy for a few minutes. I want Stephen for a few minutes on Prop 47. And then we're going to go to the phones. You can line up now, 818-985. This is Eric Mann. 5735, Eric Mann on KPFK. Andy Terranova, come on the line.
Eric, are you there?
Yes, I am, Andy. How you doing?
Hey. I'm doing fine. How are you doing today?
We're having a great conversation. I know you have a point of view you want to make to our listeners about something you think is important in the election. What is it?
Yeah, so Eric, I've been teaching in South Central in LAUSD public high schools for the last 12 years, and I really wanted to reach out to people today just to ask them if anybody hasn't voted yet or is still on their way to the polls, make sure that you go out and vote for Tom Torlakson for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. This is a statewide office over public education. And as we all know, and I know your listeners are quite informed about the battles that are being waged within public education and for the soul of public education right now. In this case, we know that there's limits to the struggles that we can wage within the electoral field, but this is one of those cases where one vote can make a really huge material impact on, working class students in Los Angeles. The choice is really clear between Tom Torlakson, who's a former teacher. He stood up to the Obama administration when they tried to institute top-down programs that work in our students' interests. He stood up to the federal government, but he's also advocated for more funding to our most needy schools, pushing for Prop 30, as well as for his own KIA Act, which basically provided about $3 billion for our schools. On the other side, we have Marshall Tuck, who is totally the corporate, quote-unquote, reformer of public education. A lot of us in Los Angeles had direct experience with him when he was in charge of the mayor's partnership schools. He was very unpopular in that role. And more importantly, he is really the one that all the Walton Foundation, the Eli Broads, everybody is dumping millions into his campaign. People from out of state are dumping millions into his campaign, trying to get him elected because they know that he's the one that's going to continue this, myth of like the problems in education are all rooted in just poor teachers. And if we just fire teachers, if we remove their unions, if we remove their job place protections, then everything is going to, be better for our students. And we know that's a lie, but we need to get out there and vote tonight.
And who's the person, this is your opinion, who's the person you think our listeners should vote for?
Is Tom Torlakson. Just remember, TT, Tom Torlakson. And I don't know if it's appropriate for the radio airwaves, but the other guy's named Marshall Tuck, and that rhymes with something else. So Tom Torlakson.
Thanks, Andy.
Tom Torlakson.
All right, you heard his point of view. And if you agree with him, you do whatever you want. But thanks for calling in, Andy Terranova. We're back to Stephen Gutwood. I'm going to see how I can juggle at least a couple of calls at 818-985-5735. Stephen, I think I'm going to take just 1 minute on Prop 47, even though we could do an hour.
Sure.
Make
and
the case.
I'll just also say that we've got marijuana legalization, just so folks know, on the ballot in Washington, D.C., in Oregon and Alaska. We've got medical marijuana on the ballot in Florida, and it has already won in Guam.
That's great.
18 hours, or 18 hours ahead. So woohoo there. Prop 47, I'm sure most of the listeners know, is the most significant criminal justice reform on the ballot anywhere in the country today. It's a follow-up to the reforming three strikes, which Californians passed overwhelmingly 2 years ago. There's a very high likelihood that Prop 47, which reclassifies six petty crimes, including simple drug possession and shoplifting and transfer of stolen goods, from felonies to misdemeanors. So this will have a profound impact on the felonization of Californians. Something like 50,000 people will not be felonized moving forward, but equally important, it has retroactive components so that folks who are incarcerated can apply to have their sentences reduced to misdemeanors, and formerly incarcerated people will be defelonized retroactively. This will make California the first state in the nation to reclassify simple drug possession from a felony to a misdemeanor. We will join 13 other states and the federal government that never felonized simple drug possession, but will be the first of 37 states to turn back the tide on treating simple drug possession as a felony.
Thanks so much, Stephen. So that's, folks, the reason we're telling you this is that you still have 3 hours to vote. Polls close, I believe, I should know this, at 8. And you've heard, so on Prop 47, it's really important to turn out. I mean, that we can talk about on the show in terms of ballot initiatives are often more important even than the candidates. Gee, are there any callers right now that we can get people on the one-minute rule? What you can do is take any proposition, any candidate. You have 1 minute to make the case. Who do I got? Maurice?
Hey, hello, everybody. Listen, there's a lady by the name of Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. She has a book out now called An Indigenous People, The History of the United States. If you read that book, you'll realize that we are all family. No problem. In 47, if you don't know anything else about what's going on those ballots here in California, just vote yes on 47. And I got a real short little thing I want to share with you, a little short rhyme. It goes like this. I'm voting, and I don't like war. More talk, more peace, maybe send the Peace Corps. I'm voting. I'm voting for change. We got a government that says corporations are men. I'm voting. You know it's a fact. Politicians taking money, some are smoking the crack. I'm voting. Like a bowl of cherries, got to get together. People got to cut the military. I'm voting. Yeah, that's right. I'm voting.
Hey, pretty beautiful. The book that you were just talking about, brother, by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz, A People's History, an Indigenous History of the United States. I have it. It's mind-blowing. I've read some Indigenous history, but I think this is one of the finest overview books. You got to get it. It's just so, we got a lot of good things today. We've discussed Prop 47. People have called in with recommending candidates. Go out and vote yes on 47. Thanks so much for listening today. Let's take the show out. So I want to really thank our engineer, G, who I work with very closely and can't get the show done without her. And she's signals me and gets people on the line and tells me when to be quiet and when to start talking. So we'll see you next Tuesday. There are a lot of great things coming up on the show. Send an email to Eric at Voices from the Front Lines. I'd love to hear from you. Go on our site, www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com. Register. And every Tuesday, you're going to get an announcement about our show. Go out and vote. 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 Go out and vote.